Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is only by your gift that your faithful people offer you true and laudable service. Grant that we may run without stumbling to obtain your heavenly promises. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. Then shall stand in a single heap. When the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, while those flowing towards the Sea of Araba, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho. While all Israel were crossing over on the dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul, the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and best seats in synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
A few weeks ago, two of our parishioners, Tony and Donna Bell, decided to take a trip to Manhattan. They gave themselves 3 days to see Manhattan. Since their time was limited and the scope was large, they decided to be unashamed and climb into one of those tourist trap double-decker buses and drive all over the city. They thought they'd at least catch a glimpse of the major sites, and then they could figure out which ones they wanted to see in more depth. A good plan. They boarded the double-decker bus, and it turns out, and this is so New York, that their tour guide was from Egypt. They drove by the Empire State Building and by Wall Street, and then they came to the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. The Egyptian tour guide said, "Now everyone, I want you to look at the majesty of this great cathedral. And think to yourself about the incredible nature of the Anglican Church." Donna turned to Tony and said, "Did he just say Anglican?" And the tour guide repeated himself 3 times, "The glorious Anglican Church." So Donna returned home and proposed the name change to me. I kind of like it myself. Today we are celebrating a wonderful occasion in the life of our Anglican Church. Our former dean, Gus Weltzek, is celebrating the 50th anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood. 50 years a priest. That's a very rare and joyous occasion. We are grateful to Gus, who was dean here for 14 years, who led this congregation through many important decisions at a very crucial time in the life of this place. Some of Gus's greatest moments were decisions that were very difficult and made without a lot of fanfare. For example, when I.M. Sulzbacher wanted to have a homeless shelter, no one would allow it to be built near them. No one. Dean Weltzek welcomed them here to our district and instructed the congregation that Jesus would want the poor to be right near us. Or when Gus's wife, Gail, decided that she wanted to teach dance to some of the homeless children next door at Community Connections. They came into Tolliver Hall to learn how to dance. And this quiet, humble program they called the Cathedral Arts Project. And now it has grown so large that we are teaching over 1,000 children art, music, and dance in the public schools all over the city. Serving God is not always easy. God does not always reward us as we would expect for our service. When I hear this Old Testament reading today, when Joshua is coming into the promised land with all of the wonderful Ark of the Covenant and everyone is so excited, I always miss the presence of Moses and feel bad for Moses. Moses was a servant of God who was so faithful and yet didn't quite make it into the promised land. Moses did everything right in my mind. He listened to God. He took the people and brought them out of slavery. For 40 years, he dealt with people who complained and grumbled. You don't know anything about that, right, Gus? One minute they were praising God, the next minute they were mad at God. One minute they were going to be faithful forever, the next moment they were about to abandon ship and go back to Egypt. And through all that time, Moses begged God to be patient with them. And Moses spoke for them with God. Gave them the law, the Ten Commandments. And yet Moses made one mistake, one very little mistake. It's very dry in the Sinai Desert, and the people were thirsty. They were really thirsty. You know, the kind of thirst that you can sometimes get here in Florida, where you can think of nothing besides the water that you need to drink. These people were desperate for water, and so they came to Moses and begged him to intercede for God.
Please, Moses, beg God for water. Please, Moses, we're going to die. They were always saying that, always whining. We're going to die. Moses, with his brother Aaron, goes to the tent of meeting, and he kneels down in front of the tent and begs God for water. God says to Moses, take the rod, strike this rock, and water will come out of it. Moses does as he's instructed, and the people drink and drink and drink until they're satisfied. But then God says to Moses, you made a mistake. You did not trust me. When the people came and asked you for water, you should have told them that I will provide. But instead, you thought that you knew best. And so you begged me to act. And because you were not faithful, you will not be able to see the promised land. So God takes Moses to the top of a mountain. He lets Moses view the land from afar, but he doesn't let Moses set foot in it. So Moses sees the land, but is unable to touch it. And he dies before ever really getting there. On Wednesday nights, we have a parenting group where we talk about the decisions we had to make the week before. And I kind of picture if God was in the parenting group with me and we were talking about God's son, Moses, I might have wanted to ask, don't you think that was a little harsh, God? Don't you think that Moses deserved a little bit more praise and thank you? Don't you think it would have been good for him at least to set foot in the promised land? But I do not ask that question. And I do not have the answer. Jesus tells us that God does not always give accolades, but often God prefers service that is humble and quiet and unseen. So of all the decisions that Gus had to make in those 14 years, I believe that there were ones that we never saw that were the most significant to God. And I believe that you, too, are sometimes called to serve God in ways that don't get you any praise at all. And yet it's particularly in those moments that God blesses you. Have any of you ever seen the show Joan of Arcadia? Have you heard of that show? No? Some of you? It is a remarkable television show that aired a few years ago about a teenage girl who talks to God. God appears to her in the strangest manner. God incarnates in the form of random strangers who come up and speak to her. And Joan talks right back to God. She says incredible stuff that I would never dare to say. It's kind of neat. One day, Joan is walking through the hallways of the high school, and she encounters a punk rocker boy who she's never seen before. He comes up to her and he says, hi there, Joan. She says, do I know you? How do you know my name? Oh, it's you. "What do you want?" Joan says. The punk rocker says to her, "Joan, I want you to go over to that boy by the lockers there." And he points to a boy who has greasy hair and an old leather jacket on, who is slouched, leaning against the lockers. Joan says, "Are you kidding?" The punk rocker says, "Joan, you're to go and ask that boy to the prom." "What? Are you kidding? That's social suicide. I will not be popular for the rest of my life." God doesn't argue with her, but simply says, "Good luck," and walks away. Joan wanders up to this greasy young man and blurts it out, meanwhile grumbling under her breath, "I can't believe you're asking me to do this. I don't want to do this." She gets to him and says, "Do you want to go to the prom with me?" The boy is completely startled. Should I come to your house or?" No, Joan says. "We'll meet at 7 o'clock in front of the high school. Don't pick me up at my house. 7 o'clock in front of the high school." "Okay," he says, "okay." Joan goes to the prom a few weeks later, and at 7 o'clock, walks in front of the high school, hoping, praying that he won't show up, but he's there in his suit and his old leather jacket. "Come on," he says, and he grabs her hand and drags her inside, where he starts to dance with her, and as they're dancing, he opens up his leather jacket, and there's a bottle of whiskey in it. "What are you doing with that?" she said. "We could get expelled. Are you crazy?" The boy grabs her hand and pulls her out of the school. "Come on, let's go," he says. They get in his old car and he screeches out of the parking lot, driving so fast that she's terrified. "Just take me home," she said. "This isn't working. Can you take me home?" He pulls into an abandoned old parking lot and gets out. Takes the whiskey bottle out of the inside of his jacket and starts chugging it. Joan says a prayer. "God, I don't know why I'm here, but please keep me safe." The boy puts the whiskey bottle on top of the car, goes to the trunk and gets out a gun. "Oh," she said, "I don't want to be here. You're scaring me. Please put that away." "What? Why?" "I'm just having a good time," he says, and he starts shooting trash cans. "Please help me," Joan prays. A police car hears the shots and pulls into the parking lot. Joan's dad is the sheriff, so you can imagine how much trouble she was in. The police car arrests the boy, takes him in the police car. She is taken home to her house. The next day, Joan is walking through the hallways of the high school, and one of the janitors comes up to her. "Thank you for last night." "Oh, it's you," she said. "I don't know how you did that to me. I don't know why you did that to me. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. I've lost all of my friends. My father thinks I am a mess. I'm grounded. That was a complete mess. Everything went wrong. What were you thinking?" the janitor says. I know that no one understands what you did, Joan, and that no one will ever thank you. But I want to show you why I had you ask that boy to the prom. On the day that you walked up to him, he had a gun in his locker, and he was planning on shooting two of the cheerleaders and a football player. A teacher would have been killed as well. Because of what you did, even though nobody understands and it looked like a complete failure, because of what you did, he's going to get some help. And three people are alive. So, thank you. I think Moses did finally get to the promised land, but just not in the way that you and I would want. Do you remember on the scene on the Mountain of Transfiguration, when Jesus appears in all of his glory, who's standing next to him? It's not Joshua who got all the praise. It's Moses. So I know, Gus Weltzek, that God praises you for everything. But we want to say something to you now. Not that we've reached the promised land, but that we're grateful for how much you've given us and how far you've taken us. We're grateful for all the things that we know you did, but we're even more grateful for the things that we don't know. We bless you and we thank you. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he has worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort them and give them strength. I invite you to speak their names. Lord, in your mercy, bless this cathedral that we may serve you here in the heart of downtown Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy, watch over this city that there may be an end to poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy, bring peace to our broken world that there may be greater understanding among races and people. Lord, in your mercy, help us to care for the earth as your creation. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those who have died, including the hundreds killed in last Sunday's earthquake in Turkey. Bless all who have died and comfort those who mourn for them. I invite you to speak their name. We pray especially for Curly Gordon, Estelle Sheffield, and Jerry Spinks. Lord, in your mercy.
Into our prayer.
Let us give thanks to God for all the blessings of this life. We especially thank you for the ministry of the Very Reverend Gus Welsett, whom we recognize today as Dean Emeritus of St. John's Cathedral. We also give special thanks for the birth of Margot Elizabeth Lynch and for the marriage of Mark and Mary Anderson. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Welcome, all of you. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we have cards in your pew that you can fill out and return to us so we can send you our e-newsletter. And come to the font at the end of the service and meet some of our GROW team who will welcome you and give you a gift. We are wrapping up our stewardship season, our pledge drive, and we welcome all of you to turn in your pledge cards. It takes me a while, but I will be thanking each of you in writing, and I'm so glad and grateful for all of you who have already pledged. There are extra pledge cards in the back, and you can also pledge online. Another way that God may call you to give is to donate blood. There is a shortage of blood right now in Jacksonville. So we have parked the Bloodmobile right outside here on Duval Street. If you are physically able, please consider donating some blood after church. This Saturday is a quiet garden day, so if you love to be silent with the Lord, you're welcome to join us at 9:30 in Cummings Chapel. We will also be hosting a homeless family for a week. And this is coming in a few weeks. If you're interested in helping, you can host the family, you can cook a meal. Please see Roland after church if you're interested, or you can fill out the Family Promise forms, which are located at the entrances of the church. Seventeen years ago, I was a seminarian, and I got married, and my husband had a clerkship here in Jacksonville, Florida. After only 1 year of seminary, I was virtually unemployable. But we called Gus Welsek, and he decided he would let me come. So I served with him for a whole year, and he taught me a great deal about what it means to be a priest. Gus, would you please come forward? And Gail, would you come forward? Come on. Gus, the bishop has written a letter which he wants me to read to you. Dear Gus, on this, the 50th anniversary of your ordination, I write to celebrate your remarkable ministry and all that you have given to the life of our diocese and indeed of the whole church. Through your years of service, you have been faithful to your call. You have been dependable, and you have always been there when needed. We recognize your superb leadership, faithfulness to our Lord, and your love of the church, which so wisely called you to ordained ministry over 5 decades ago. It has been my good fortune to have you as colleague, friend, and fellow laborer in the Lord's vineyards. This, the 50th anniversary of your ordination, is a great time of celebration. Not many priests will ever enjoy such an occasion in their ministry, and I regret not being with you in person. I know that it will be a marvelous day of remembering and of looking forward for you and for those who love you. It is also, for all of your friends and colleagues, a day of thanksgiving for you and for your ministry in our midst. May God give you many happy returns of this day with warmest best wishes and blessings faithfully. The Right Reverend Samuel Johnson Howard, Bishop. And Susan Corey would like to present to you an official document that makes you Dean Emeritus here at the Cathedral from now and forevermore. Amen.
I want you all to know that this is a special moment that Gail and I will never forget. 50 years ago, I was ordained at the Cathedral of the Incarnation on a bright Saturday afternoon on the feast of Saint Simon and Saint Jude, the patron saints for hopeless and lost causes. That may have been a prediction of what my ministry could have been, but early on I learned that rectors and deans are shaped by the quality of their congregations. The list of the things that you find in your leaflet are due not only to me, but to the members of this congregation whose vision, support, and love of God's creation has made all of this possible. For me, being part of this community has been the most fulfilling part of my life. I've also been able to be the dean under 2 great bishops, Frank Cervini and John Howard, who have nurtured me in this position and from whom I have learned a great deal. So this is a celebration of St. John's Cathedral and all that it's been able to accomplish in the last time from the last time of its inception until now and forever. Thank you for allowing me to be part of it.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the faithful witnesses of your church, we have received the gospel and become believers of your word. You have accepted us as your children and called us to be brothers and sisters of one another and witnesses and servants to all. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, the perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. At the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. Body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Let us go forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.